Have loads of relationships that go on in your school, and you may it may be weird to think of some of these relationships as having processes, but they do. And sociology looks at this, and in particular, we're going to look at those processes in this episode. So you need to know something about the hidden curriculum. Now, the hidden curriculum is the informal teaching done in school that socializes children to societal norms. So there are certain factors within a school, which we call internal factors, that influence student and teacher experience of education. And the factors include subcultures, pupil identities, and organisation. Now, the hidden curriculum prepares students for the adult world, and children learn how to deal with things like bureaucracy, rules, expectations, how to wait your turn, how to sit still for hours of the day. All of that is stuff that isn't formally taught at school, but you learn just by being there. And school in different cultures or different countries socializes children differently to prepare them for the function of those cultures. So if you think of a kid who might be going to school in Kenya, they might have a very different experience to and learn different societal norms than the ones that you learn through your hidden curriculum in your school. Now, the ethos of a school refers to the specific thing that make up the particular character of that school. So, for example, a school might emphasize high academic success or pupil well-being, and they're examples of the different ethoses a school have. They might also hold a specific religious value or encourage parental involvement as another type of ethos. And school ethoses is often referred to as the hidden curriculum, which includes things such as school uniform, school rules, and the ability grouping in classes, and what happens during school assemblies. So to recap that a little bit, I want to ask you a little question. So what do we call the informal teaching that socializes children at school? Well, that, if you remember, is the hidden curriculum. And the hidden curriculum is the informal teaching done in school that socializes children to societal norms. Now, along with the hidden curriculum, there's a lot of stereotyping that goes on in schools, often through no fault of any teachers or any leadership in the school, but it happens. And we can think of that also as like labeling people in a certain way. So, wider teacher-pupil interactions can be labeled or stereotyped, and they can influence the construction of positive or negative pupil self-concepts. And that's the pupil's identity. So stereotypes held by teachers might include labels such as students being bright or a slow learner, conformist or destructive, and hardworking or lazy. And those stereotype impressions can result in teachers making assumptions about pupils, which are often wrong. So for example, if you assume that a well-behaved pupil is also hardworking, that might not actually be the case. I'm sure you've sat next to or near people in your class who are very well-behaved, but not very hardworking. Now, there's something called the halo effect that you need to know about. Now, Waterhouse, in 2004, carried out a case study of four primary and secondary schools, finding that teachers labeling pupils as either normal or average, or defiant types, as a result of their impression that they've been informed over time, had implications for the way teachers interacted with the pupils. So once the labels of either a normal student or a disruptive student were applied and become the dominant categories for pupils, they can become what Waterhouse terms a pivotal identity for the students. And that is a core identity providing a pivot which teachers can use to interpret and reinterpret classroom situations and student behavior. Now, these pivotal identities can then lead to various pupil responses, including conflict, confrontation, and the formation of a range of pro-social and anti-social subcultures. So you may get a student who really has a reputation for behaving in a certain way, and that perpetuates the teacher's reaction and stereotyping of that perpetuates that behavior in that student. So to recap, the Waterhouse's study into the halo effect studied on four primary and secondary schools. It was a case study that was looked at, and it was conducted in 2014. And a teacher labels a pupil as either normal or a defiant type. And once those labels have been applied, they become the dominant categories for pupils. And then they become what Waterhouse terms as the pivotal identities for those students. Now, these pivotal identities then lead to various pupil responses, like the formation of pro or antisocial subcultures. Now, labeling the stereotyping as well as wider pupil-teacher actions can influence the construction of positive and negative pupil self-concepts. Those are pupil identities. Now, if we're stereotyping the ideal pupil, there was some research done by two sociologists, Howard Becker in 1971 and Amelia Hempel-Jorgensen. And Howard Becker in 1971 concluded that teachers initially evaluate pupils in relation to a stereotype of the ideal pupil. So there's that comparison going on to compared to a pupil who might be conformist and hardworking and the other things you would expect from an ideal pupil. And Amelia Hempel-Jorgensen found that many pupils share a similar stereotype of the ideal learner. Now, these stereotypes are influenced by a range of non-academic features. For example, dress, behavior, how likable a student is, which conform to the middle class standards of teachers. And when disadvantaged pupils from working class homes, and boys as well are another group who are negatively affected by this, and some ethnic minority groups are disadvantaged by these this ideal pupil stereotyping. And such stereotypes can influence academic assessment and pupil ability and influence of teachers, such as to which ability stream or set that pupil belongs to. So, question: who tends to be the least disadvantaged by teacher stereotyping? Well, that is middle-class girls. And that's because they are most likely to meet this expectation of the ideal pupil. And Amelia Hempel-Jorgensen found that many pupils share a similar stereotype of the ideal learner. And the examples of lessons learnt through the hidden curriculum, just to recap that again, one, it could be that you're sitting still for hours of the day, you're obeying rules, waiting your turn, and dealing with bureaucracy. Now, can you remember the name of the scientist who concluded that teachers initially evaluate pupils in relation to a stereotype of the ideal pupil? And what year was that? That was Becker in 1971. And just to recap, the pivotal identity, that is a core identity providing a pivot which teachers then use to interpret and reinterpret classroom situations and student behavior. Now, non-academic features that influence teacher stereotypes are behavior, likability, and dress. And that is all we're going to talk about for processes within relationship and processes within schools in this episode. Join us again next time for a further look at the relationships in schools. If this episode has got you in the mood for more revision, then head over to senecalearning.com, where you can revise all of your A-level subjects absolutely free. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Anchor, then you will find a link in the bio. But if not, just type in senecalearning.com and you'll find us. While you're at it, if you could rate us 5 stars and subscribe or follow to all of our revised podcasts, which cover every subject you need, then that will help other people to find our podcasts.